Blog Talk Radio.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my podcast. Today is Thursday, September 28th, 2023. For the last several weeks, I have been focusing very intricately on the issues surrounding the women of Iran, which I do all the time here on The Cross in the Desert. We've been revisiting the one-year anniversary of the unjust death of Mahsa Amini and the issues surrounding that. How now that the government has issued a new law or edict about the hijab rule? They have not backed down since the uprising. Now, if a woman goes out publicly unveiled, she has an automatic 10-year sentence in prison. They are continuing the oppression even more so since the death, the unjust death of Mahsa Amini. And I will continue to be a voice for Iranians, for Afghan women, for Saudi Arabian women, for women all over the world that live in these dictatorship societies under Islamic rule. But today on The Cross in the Desert, I wanted us to step back for just a day, and I want to share with you a subject that is near and dear to my heart, as well as being a voice for the women of Iran. And this subject today is about the God of irresistible love, a message that the Iranian people are so attracted to because they see a government that wants to possess them from the cradle to the grave, don't want to give them any freedom. And there is nothing but unhappiness living in Iran. Why so many Iranians have decided to leave their homeland. But the subject of the God of irresistible love was very prominent in one book that I wrote over 11 years ago. And the name of that book is Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Terror. And I want to spend some time today on this subject because a lot of us have family members that are not believers. They have wandered away and their stubborn heart keeps them from embracing that irresistible love of God. Now, the story of Driven by the Wind, which is very prominently about a young, independent, free-spirited sailor woman named Tara, is very, very poignantly told in my book, Driven by the Wind. Let me give you a little backdrop about this book. Tara loves the ocean. Her father taught her to sail at a very young age. Her father was a Christian, and he took Tara to church. But for whatever reason, Tara, when she stepped inside of a church door, always felt trapped. She felt that that was not the place for her, but out on the ocean where she had complete control and freedom. And so Tara is growing up learning the skills of how to sail. And she has a brother as well, Nathan. And it's the story of Nathan that is the central point of this book. Nathan goes out one year to circumnavigate the globe. He has the latest technology. He has a satellite phone. The boat is equipped with everything he needs to complete this very challenging task. And then one day they get a phone call. Nathan is out there and talks about the weather, how it's really, really becoming more dangerous. I mean, he's more than halfway around the world. He's in the middle of the Indian Ocean, which really is a graveyard for ships because of the tumultuous storms and because of how deep it is and how long it is between sailing and getting to land. And then one night they get that the Coast Guard received a distress message from a Nathan sailboat, and he disappears one night in the midst of a storm. They never hear from him again. The death of her brother was extremely difficult for Tara to take, and I talk about this in the beginning of the book, how Tara is out taking her walk as she does every morning, and she steps out from the beach into the ocean a little bit, and she thinks she sees Nathan's sailboat returning, and she gets so excited, but it's just an illusion. It's just the playing tricks on the mind morning, if you will. And so Tara decides, I have got to find out what happened to my brother. I have got to know. Is there a chance he's still alive? But I still have to know. And so she heads out to circumnavigate, to sail around the world. And one of the reasons she's doing this, though, is a dream she keeps having. But remember, Tara is very super independent. She's a free spirit. And so she has a Christian friend at work that gives her a Bible on her journey. And, of course, she does received the Bible out of courtesy to him. But of course, she's not a believer. But what I want to do is I want to talk this morning about what happens to Tara out on the ocean. It is central to our subject, the God of irresistible love. Jesus was a master storyteller. And one of his most impressive, if you will, his parables was the parable of the prodigal son. But that's not the subject this morning. It is the parable of the lost sheep. And I want to tie this in to our theme this morning about the God of irresistible love. I want to read this short parable to you, and I want to explain how this fits in to the story I'm going to read this morning. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Notice the Pharisees and the teachers, again, critical of Jesus because he dares to go out to welcome the broken, the lost, the separated to the dinner table. They were so preoccupied with their version of the law But Jesus says, look, I will always go out after the lost, the broken, the separated, the prodigal. Don't you understand that one lost sheep is on my heart because I am the God of the irresistible love, and I will search heaven and earth to go and find that one sheep. And when I find it, Pharisees, I am going to throw a party. Heaven rejoices over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. He is the God of irresistible love. Notice the religion of the Pharisees and the scribes. They spent their life trying to impress the multitude of people. They wanted them to see, look how spiritual we are, how we love God's law. But trade was an angry God. It was a religious God, more preoccupied with rules and regulations than with grace. And Jesus attacked their theology constantly. And this parable, again, is one of many in Luke 15 that illustrates this beautiful teaching of the God of irresistible love, which is exactly what we're going to be talking about this morning. Now, I was explaining from my book, Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Tara. Tara goes out. Her mother doesn't want her to go. She has just lost a son a year earlier, a father a few years earlier, who died of a heart attack over the grief of losing his son. And now here comes her daughter, and she is so impressed. She is just so driven, if you will. She's convinced that if Tara goes out, she could lose her too. But Tara says, no, this is my mission. This is my world. The world of the wind and the waves has the answers for this problem. They know. That is, the world of the winds and waves knows what happens to Nathan. So she goes out on Mistral Wind. And there is a section of the book where Tara encounters storms, pirates, whales, and even problems with the boat. And it's a very intense novel. And then in one section, she encounters a very serious storm. And in that serious storm, her boat suffers a knockdown. It's actually swallowed by the Indian Ocean. And Mistral Wind, the name of her boat, is sunk. But Tara survives miraculously. And I want to read to you this morning from the chapter called The Life Raft. And in this chapter, you're going to meet the theme of this book, the theme of our teaching this morning, the God of irresistible love. As I read this, I would just ask that you think carefully as I paint with pictures, that is word pictures, that illustrates how God never gives up on us. He goes after that one lost sheep until he finds it. This is from Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Tara. The bright scorching rays of the sun beamed down upon Tara's face. Beads of sweat rolled down her cheeks. Her throat was parched and dry. She was extremely thirsty, but there was no water to drink. Tara lay sprawled across a rubber inflatable life raft, aimlessly drifting and bouncing in the choppy waves of the Indian Ocean. Mistral Wind was gone, swallowed alive by a 50-foot wave during a violent squall. The last thing Tara remembered was seeing a huge wave like a giant hand reach down and squish Mistral Wind. That was the last thing that she remembered. Mistral Wind, the goddess of the ocean, lay deep at the bottom of the Indian Ocean. She was no more. Tara had no feelings left. She was weak, injured, and drifting in and out of consciousness. She couldn't sit up or move her arms. She felt paralyzed, weak, and numb. Her head throbbed with intense pain. She could barely see out of her own eyes. All Tara knew is that she had been left to die. She had no food or water. She knew she couldn't last much longer. Tara had lost track of time. Was it 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week ago when the big wave hit? There was Tara's world of the wind and the waves had been cruel to her. She had lost all hope, all desire to live. Now all she was doing was waiting to die. The beads of sweat rolled down her cheek and into her mouth. Tara began to violently cough, trying to lift her head up, and then the excruciating pain hit. She fell back against the bulge of the inflatable raft. Tara was amazed that she was still alive. She didn't remember getting into the life raft. But now, that really didn't matter. It would be just a matter of time before she became food for sharks. In the distance, she heard the cries of seagulls, but she couldn't turn her head to watch. She was in too much pain. All she could do was listen. She listened to the rhythm of the waves splashing against the rubber life raft. The bouncing sensation aggravated the scrapes and the wounds that were all over her body. Tara slowly tried to open her eyes. Everything was blurry and out of focus. "Help me," Tara muttered to herself, realizing that there was no one around to help her. The Indian Ocean was a vast reservoir of endless water for thousands of miles and no land. Tara was doomed to die. Tears streamed down Tara's face. Her dad had always been there. When she scraped her knees after falling off her bicycle, when she cut her finger on a piece of broken glass, Samuel had been there to kiss it and make it better. "Help me, Dad. Please help me," Tara moaned out loud to herself. Tara could see her father's face now, his smile, his arms of love around her. Tara began to cough again. She was extremely weak from no food or water. The pain and brokenness was becoming too much to bear. There wasn't anything left to live for. Tara wanted to die. Mr. Wind was dead, and so was she. As Tara's eyes began to roll back in her head, she caught a glimpse of a strange sight. It looked as though a blanket of fog began to roll in and surround her. Then suddenly, Tara was immersed in the fog. The scorching rays of the sun disappeared. Everything became strangely quiet, hauntingly quiet. The chopped sound of the waves ceased. "I must be dying," Tara reasoned within herself. "Is this what it's like?" All of a sudden, Tara's pain vanished. Her throat was no longer parched or sore or dry. Strength began to return to her injured body. An incredible peace came over Tara, and it was unlike anything she had ever experienced before. She could move her arms and legs and feel the numbness leave her body. Yet, instead of rising up, Tara instead laid completely still. She was engulfed in an aura of peace and tranquility. Tara nervously asked herself. Then suddenly, Tara was blinded by an intense white light. She covered her face with her hands. She could not look, and yet she was not afraid or terrorized. She was instead absorbed by a tranquility and peace that she had never before experienced. As Tara lay back in the life raft, with her face covered with her hands, she heard a gentle but authoritative voice speak to her from the blinding light. "Tara, relax. You are now safe." The words and the sound of the voice sent chills up and down her spine. Tara couldn't move. The voice calmed every nerve and fiber of her being. She was spellbound by the words, tone of the voice. Incredibly, the voice sounded like that of her father. "Am I dead? Is that you, Dad?" Tara sat up, shaking and trembling. "Dad, is that you?" Her eyes were blinded by the light. She covered her face with her hands once again and fell back down in the life raft. "Tara, don't be afraid. I am the God of the wind and waves. I am the pleasure feel when you put your hand to the tiller of your sailboat and set sail. I created you, Tara, to experience this joy. I set up you apart to feel this pleasure whenever you sail." Tara was shaking and trembling at the words she was hearing, and yet there was such an inner peace and connection to the sound of this voice. She was no longer battling fear and doubt that this might be some kind of hallucination. Instead, her heart and mind was thirsting, was begging to hear more. "I have always been there with you, Tara. I was with you when you were born. I held your hand in the darkest hours and comforted you. I was with you when you were lost and afraid as a child, when you played hide and seek at the lighthouse. I was with you when you cut your hand on a broken piece of glass and when your father kissed it to make it feel better. I was with you when you were crushed and broken over your brother's disappearance. I was with you when your father died. I was there to wrap my arms of love around you." Tara was mesmerized by the words of comfort coming from the voice in the blinding light. She was awestruck, unable to move. Her eyes were flooded with tears. In the midst of total joy, her heart began to feel the bitterness of conviction. She suddenly remembered screaming, "I hate you, God," during the violent squall. And now she was feeling this conviction, this remorse for having said what she did. Yet, as soon as she felt that remorse, Tara experienced an incredible feeling of forgiveness. It felt like a wave washing over her body, saturating her soul, soothing her soul, and cleansing her of every wrong word or deed that she had ever committed. "Tara, I am the God of irresistible love," the voice spoke to her once again. Tara was overwhelmed with what God had just said. She had never known God was a God of love before. In the middle of the Indian Ocean, in a small rubber life raft, Tara was discovering for the first time in her life that God was not angry with her. Instead, God loved her. "Tara, you have been running from me like Jonah did, looking for truth in all the wrong places. You were never satisfied because every well you drank from made you just thirsty all over again. I am the living water that will always satisfy you. I never gave up on you. I knew one day you would recognize that I am the real pleasure, the real treasure and joy that your heart has been searching for. I am life, Tara. I am love. I am everything that you will ever need." Tara couldn't move, didn't want to move. The words of God radiated through her mind and soul, giving her such pleasure and such joy that she wanted to hear more. Tara was no longer afraid. She was no longer empty and confused. She no longer had the longing. Instead, she felt an overwhelming feeling of love and acceptance for the first time in her life. She was no longer hungry and thirsty or broken inside. Right now, She felt healed and whole, like an entirely new person, a new woman. Tara, I want you to close your eyes and sleep. I am about to take you on an incredible journey. I will be with you, so do not be afraid. When you awake, you will understand what I mean. Now relax. Close your eyes and sleep. I promise you, Tara, I am always with you. Tara felt as if she was a child once again, and her father was tucking her into bed and kissing her goodnight. She gently closed her eyelids and immediately went to sleep. I have written many books in my career as a self-published author. But this chapter in this book, such an anointing from God to paint well with word pictures, to describe what really is indescribable. In order for you to fully get the context of what I just read to you, you would have to read the preceding chapters and really become introduced to the person that Tara is. Throughout the book, I'm describing this longing, this nagging at her soul, looking for truth. And yet she never in any of those instances surrendered her life to God. But here she is in the middle of the Indian Ocean. She has maybe hours to live under those conditions. The dream of her life has sunk to the bottom of the ocean. But you see, that is the time and the place when God meets us, when we've reached the end of everything, when we've sunk into the deepest pit in the ocean. That is when God reaches down in his irresistible love and meets us exactly where we're at. This story of the prodigal, of the lost sheep, is at the heart of who Jesus is. Because he understands he is the fountain of living water. He is the only one that can quench our thirst, our longing. And Tara was fighting him every step of the way. But listen to what God said. I am the pleasure that you feel, Tara, when you're out sailing. You see, Tara's biggest complaint was when she went to church as a young girl with her father, she felt trapped. But God was saying, there is freedom wherever I'm at, Tara, even when you go out to sail, but you just didn't recognize that freedom and that pleasure and that joy that you were experiencing was my gift to you. And you see, Tara, I was never going to give up on you. Now the question is, the sinking of Mistral Wind, was that part of God's plan? I think so. You see, he takes what is so precious to us in one sense and takes it away so that we will have nothing or no one to go to except to him, because he's the source of all life. He's the source of all joy. He's the source of all grace and forgiveness. And Tara was left with nothing. And that's when God showed up. He pursued her with his irresistible love. And when you read Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Tara, you're going to see this beautiful story in the life raft from a very intimate, personal way. Now, you're probably asking, okay, what happens next? I'm not going to tell you, because if I did, then you wouldn't have to read my book. But I want you to experience, I want you to hear the ending that you did not expect, which is the subject of today's Bible teaching on the God of irresistible love. So I would just persuade you, if you want to know what happens next, go to Amazon.com and purchase my book, Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Tara. I promise you it is worth it, because the ending of this book, I think, is very unexpected. And you want to know what happens next? Tara's in this life raft. She's just had this incredible encounter with a God of irresistible love. There's more to the story, I promise you. I searched high and low for a song that would fit in to my subject this morning about the God of irresistible love, and I found one. It's from Corey Asbury. This is a song that came out about 5-6 years ago, but it's so beautifully written and sung. And I want you to listen carefully to the words and then think about Tara and that encounter she just had. Let's listen to Corey Asbury and Reckless Love right now on the cross in the desert. I just cannot emphasize enough how beautifully written this song is, Reckless Love, Corey Asbury. It fits perfectly the theme for this morning's program on the God of Irresistible Love. Just going over the lyrics a little bit, and you can see why I picked this song. Just, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. Just so beautifully written. It fits our theme so beautifully this morning on the cross in the desert, because it's talking about the God of the irresistible love who pursues us, even when we are staunchly committed to going the other direction. In Tara's case, she had lots of lies and misconceptions about the character of God. Her father was a perfect role model as a Christian. And isn't that the story of a lot of families, decent, God-fearing Christians, but the daughter, the son, is just so free-spirited, so rebellious, and they spend their lives trying to nurture them and teach them, and they run away like Tara. You might be one this morning that has that son or daughter that feels like there's no hope. But I've tried to paint well with words this morning and give you hope. And yes, it's a fictional book, but it's true to reality. God does make such marvelous attempts and encounters to reach out to us like he did with Tara. She was cornered. She was in the deepest pit of her life. And God showed up when she was running. And he showed up at a time when we would have given up hope that, you know, that your son or daughter is ever going to find their hope and freedom in Christ. But this is, this morning, a story of hope for you as a parent. Or if your brother or loved one has run away from God, there is hope, like in the story of Tara. But this morning, I want to conclude by talking to you a little bit about the longing you might have in your heart. Maybe you have sat through this broadcast this morning, but you're kind of sitting on the fence. You've got some questions, maybe some misconceptions about Christianity. Maybe you think it's just another religious viewpoint. It's just something to soothe us in hard times, but it's just a myth and a fable, and it really doesn't have substance in our life. Look at the evil in our world. There's no God. I mean, we're out here on our own. We're stuck in this sailboat of life. It's up to us to be the captain of our own salvation and steer the boat, steer our life in every direction that it goes. There's no outside help. There's no need for that. Maybe you've reached the pit. Turn like Tara. Maybe all of your hopes and dreams have been crushed. Your sailboat is at the bottom of the ocean. You're stuck there on that life raft, clinging on to life with no hope or desire to live. If you're in that hopeless situation, there is a God of love who has been pursuing you your entire life. And now in this situation where you have absolutely nothing or no one to turn to, he is there. And he is reaching out to you with his arms of love. He has never given up on you. He has pursued you. He has respected your freedom to choose. But in his irresistible love, he has created those perfect circumstances where you're in that deep, dark pit with nothing or no one to turn to, and he's there. You see, that's our God, the God of irresistible love. He is a mighty, powerful, holy being. He is our creator. And the Bible says God is love. He is the essence of what love is, what it should be, what it feels like. It is a love that reaches down in your darkest hour and is the light, the truth, the way that you should follow. That's why Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man can come to the Father but through me. Maybe you have tried many, many religious pathways, but Jesus says these are all false, counterfeit, wrong pathways. Come to me. I will satisfy that longing. I will satisfy your soul. I will bring you the comfort, the grace, and the forgiveness that you'll find nowhere else. And see, that's exactly what happened to Tara. She had nothing left. The dream of her life was at the bottom of the Indian Ocean. When you read this book, you'll understand that better. This is actually a great gift to give to your unsaved loved one. It's the perfect book outside of the Bible, of course. This book will be the invitation, the longing that they're looking for. And so I want to thank you this morning for spending time with me on this special edition of The Cross in the Desert as I have introduced you to that God of irresistible love. He is the God that loves us without condition, that never gives up on us. And when you have some time today, read Psalm 139 and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. This book is woven around the book of Jonah, Psalm 139. I thank you so much for meeting with me this morning. My book, Driven by the Wind, The Calling of Tara, is up on Amazon. It's a great gift for that unsaved loved one. God bless you. Have a great weekend. I will see you again on Monday on The Cross in the Desert.